Good afternoon. You're listening to Spotlight Health on Aspen Public Radio, our series partnering with the Aspen Ideas Festival and their Spotlight Health Conference. Each week, we bring you a deep dive into the cutting edge of health and medicine presented through a global lens.
Good afternoon. I'm Allison Bechtesh.
And I'm Kristen Kay. Today, we talk with Minda Dentler.
I am so passionate about making sure that there is going to be a world without polio and that all children have access to vaccines.
When she was an infant in India, she contracted polio, which left her legs paralyzed.
She was adopted into an American family and watched from the sidelines as her siblings competed in sports.
Now, she competes in triathlons. In 2013, she became the first official female hand cyclist in history to complete an Ironman championship.
That means 140.6 miles with only her upper body.
She has also been a global advocate for Rotary International and the UN Foundation Shot at Life campaign, pushing for global immunization and polio eradication.
We began by asking Minda about her early childhood.
You know, I don't have a lot of information about my years before I moved to the United States. We actually went back to India when I was 11 with my parents to the orphanage, and I had asked some questions, and basically they had told me that my mother was very poor and she didn't have access to the vaccine, and it was around 1978, and if I understand correctly, I think India was doing immunization campaign starting later, maybe like in the mid-80s. That's when they started doing more of a push towards immunizing children against polio.
That just gives me chills that you went back to the orphanage. I didn't know that part of your story.
Yeah, I really don't talk about it much, but it was definitely an eye-opening experience because it was, I was around 11 years old and I didn't really quite understand like the enormity of my life at that moment, but what I did see, I mean, the place was super desolate, and you know, all of these children were still in the orphanage waiting to be adopted, and my parents tell me that they were able to process my adoption real quickly because of my disability. They said that because I was disabled, it was easier to push the adoption through, and they saw my picture and they said, okay, that's who we want. So it's kind of funny that when I asked, you know, what's the story of my adoption? And they said, oh, we picked you out from a book. Okay.
It's good to know you're the cutest one on the shelf, I guess. You know.
Well, they didn't turn to the next page, so I don't know.
Polio can take all forms, including no forms. And the reaction in you is that you lost the use of your legs?
Yes. So I was paralyzed from the waist down. I have a little bit of mobility. The key difference with polio and other paralyzing, situations is I can feel everything, but I don't have the motor nerves that are firing for me to move. So that is what happened to me. There's so many different ways people have gotten paralyzed from the polio virus. So that's how it manifested in me. So I have a leg length discrepancy and my legs don't work.
When you're out talking about polio, what do you find that people get wrong about it? What do people know, and what's what are some misconceptions?
I think one thing, because of my age, I find that not many people know about polio in my generation. It's almost like it skipped two generations. People, like, for example, my grandparents, when they grew up, polio was very rampant in like the 30s and the 40s. And so the familiarity of the disease was there. I think now there people are just not familiar with polio when I talk about it, at least with people in my generation. They know that it's part of the immunization schedule for their children, but they may not be familiar with the fact that it causes paralysis. So I think because the manifestation is so severe, I mean, it really, in some ways, is it changes, in some ways, actually, it does change your life if you contract polio. So I think just through my own personal experience, I hope that I can share, what it's like to live with polio, and then also demonstrate to others that, there's vaccines out there, not only for, the children that live in the United States, but what we really need to do is make sure that children in third world countries or the countries where the polio epidemic is still underway, to ensure that they have access to the vaccines. So I think it's like two-pronged for me when I talk about my own messages. I want to make sure that no child is paralyzed by a disease like polio, especially because it's completely preventable by a vaccine. And then another thing is just ensuring that no children, regardless of circumstances, should have to live without life-saving vaccines. I think, maybe in the United States we take for granted vaccines because it's just part of our schedule of immunizations for our children. But I know in other countries, women are clamoring to make sure that their children get access to the vaccines because they know how important it is. And then finally, I think when we talk about polio, I'm excited to know that there's a possibility that we could actually end polio from the world for good. And we're almost there. And if I could add one more message, is just to continue the effort to make sure that we do see it in our lifetime.
Thanks for joining us on Spotlight Health. I'm Kristen Kay.
And I'm Allison Bektesh. Each week, we speak with leaders in health and medicine, as well as new voices presented through a global lens, leading up to the Spotlight Health Conference at the Aspen Institute, June 22nd through 25th.
Today, we're speaking with Minda Dentler, who contracted polio as an infant, lost the use of her legs, and was orphaned. However, none of that kept her from becoming an athlete. That's next.
You also are showing, though, that even with polio, you can participate in many things, especially something that people here in Aspen are going to find fascinating and inspiring, an Ironman competition. Why Ironman?
Why not Ironman?
The hardest?
It's really hard. That's
why not? Honestly, I kind of fell into it. My family is very athletic, and I always participated from the sidelines. I would always cheer on my siblings, or I'd volunteer at local road races. And I didn't really discover sports until I was an adult. I had moved to New York City, and I was introduced to hand cycling around age 28. And then I was inspired to do a triathlon in 2007. I had watched one of my friends complete the New York City Triathlon, and I was so inspired that I signed up for the race the very next year without even knowing how to swim or owning a racing wheelchair. And then when I finished my first triathlon in 2008, I was hooked. And one of the reasons why I like triathlon is that because I'm a wheelchair athlete, I'm able to compete side by side with able-bodied athletes. And to me, that's really important. And the Ironman, I guess the World Championship race, became a goal for me in 2012. I had qualified for the race, but unfortunately, I failed to finish that year because I was too slow. I got pulled off the course, and that just gave me extra motivation to get it done the following year. I really enjoy competing in triathlon.
I would love for you to explain the mechanics of all. When you're swimming, that's just your arms helping you through the water. And when you're biking, what's that? And what is running for someone who is wheelchair bound?
Yes. So I do all three disciplines using only my upper body. So I have a wetsuit that I can wear, and I do the freestyle stroke and the swim. And then for the bike segment of the race, I use a hand cycle. It's a recumbent bike, has three wheels, and I have 30 plus gears. Actually, I just got a new bike, so it's 33 now. I think that's the hardest part for me, because I am quite slow. It takes me around 7 hours or more to finish 112 miles in the Iron Distance race. And then, it just gives me a lot of time to like think about, I don't know what, out there, and just trying to stay focused. And then I do use a racing wheelchair for the run segment. And when I got to the run, I'm really relieved, actually, because I go a little bit faster than runners, and then finally when I cross that finish line, I'm super excited. But just Ironman for me has changed my life. It has given me an opportunity to work towards a goal for myself, and I think I'm kind of neurotic too. I probably every time I finish a race, I think, man, I could have done this. So I think it's kind of addictive too. So that's why I want to continue competing, so I can figure out ways to become, a better athlete and have a better performance.
I want to kind of relive some of those moments with you. I think one that you don't want to relive and one that's super special. Let's start with 2012. So you had been training to like stay on time, because they do pull you off at certain intervals. What happened that day?
So what's special about the Ironman World Championship is, especially for athletes, is the elements. It's a very windy, hot, and humid course, and there's a lot of elevation change, but not as much as other races. And so what happened for me is, in an Ironman, you have to complete the swim and the bike within 10 and a half hours. And when I got to the top of Javi at mile 60 on the bike, I realized I was like 2 hours off pace, and there was no way I was gonna make that time limit. So they pulled me off the course. So that's kind of, is really hard.
I mean, we're looking at each other, shaking our heads. You're 60 miles into a race.
Yeah, well, that's after I swam 2.4 miles, too.
So. Right. Uh-huh. Okay, so that was then the year returning, like a big battle, personally. You knew what it was like to not finish. Tell me about 2013.
So 2013, I basically took a new approach. Triathlon is an individual sport, but for a wheelchair athlete like me, it really takes a team to like train and to get to the starting line and to the finish line. And so I just changed the way I trained. I just made a bunch of different choices. In 2013, when I was thinking about going back to Kona, I got a coach for swimming, so I could figure out how to reduce my anxiety and to swim a little bit faster. and then on the bike, one thing for me was being able to train on the course. So we took a training trip 2 weeks prior to the race to Hawaii. So I did 100 miles with my husband, and when we got it done in the time that I needed, that gave me the confidence to know that I could get it done on race day. And then finally, when I got to race day, I just came in there with a lot of confidence. I think, when you're going up against history and, everything points to, you can't get it done. I think just being able to stay within the moment and just trusting your training and having that, relentless attitude that I was gonna try and try and try. They're gonna have to, peel me off that course if I was ever in time jeopardy. And there was a moment where I was on the bike where, I don't know, I was probably a mile, 93. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I only have 90 minutes and there's a couple hills left, and how am I going to do this? And I just remember thinking, I have come way too far to quit and I have to get this done. So I probably took it to a new gear that I never even knew I had, and I was able to make it to the transition. And I actually made the transition within 3 minutes of the cutoff time. So it was a big relief.
Minda Dentler is a 4-time Ironman and polio eradication spokesperson. You're listening to Spotlight Health on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Kristen Kay.
And I'm Allison Bektesh. Each week, we talk to leaders in research, patient care, and others on the forefront of health. You can also listen to this series online at aspenpublicradio.org.
Conversation with Minda Dentler, who was paralyzed from contracting polio as an infant.
That hasn't held her back. She's a competitive triathlete and an advocate for global immunization efforts and polio eradication. You talk a little bit about your family supporting you in this, and you have a daughter as well. I'm wondering what this means. Is it important that a woman accomplish this? Do you also think of your story in terms of being female?
That is a good question. After having had my daughter, I continued to be active in athletics, and I do think it's important to have good female role models, whether it's me as her mom, or, you know, for me, I looked up to my sister, my own mother, and I'm an athlete at heart, and, you know, I got moved by so many other athletic feats by women, and I definitely think that it's important to show that women can be strong, and they can achieve goals, as long as you put in the work and you have a plan and you execute it. So definitely.
One thing you said was, you know, the polio, it's preventable if you're vaccinated soon enough. Even in America, somewhat recently, there's families choosing not to vaccinate their children. What do you do to work against that?
Man, I wish I could just meet me. I just think, you know, I see it too. You know, I was a new mom. I still am a new mom. Heck, my daughter's only two. And I can see why parents may be hesitant in vaccinating their children. But I just don't understand why they wouldn't, listen to their doctor and and know that, I mean, these are proven vaccines that help prevent, like, debilitating diseases. And I mean, seriously, I have polio because I didn't have access to a vaccine. And if someone could meet me and see that, like, why would you allow your child to even be remotely susceptible to a disease like polio? That's what gets me. I just wish I could have a conversation with these people. That's it.
As you were describing, I guess your background with polio and paralysis of your legs, you did use the word disabled. I know you don't think of yourself as a victim, and you're obviously clearly a champion. I'm wondering how you reconcile those two terms.
How do I reconcile those two terms? I think that I won the human lottery. You know, I was, you know, I contracted polio as a baby, and my opportunities to even live to age 18, you know, were super limited as a disabled person in India. And I know that my experience is completely different from someone who remains in India and possibly is paralyzed by polio. So I also think, as a person with a disability, we're always faced with the choice of, you know, whether we're gonna succumb to feeling sorry for ourselves, or we're going to figure out a way to, you know, make something of ourselves. And I really credit my adoptive parents for instilling us, you know, the values of being independent and having our own. I guess teaching me that, you know, I can pursue whatever I want to pursue. They supported me and all of the crazy ideas that I had gotten, you know, growing up, and you know, from like traveling, backpacking Europe by myself, you know, driving across country by myself. I mean, I often think, like, man, are my parents normal? Because I'd be so scared if my daughter, like, you know, just chose to do that. But and they also know that, you know, I'm very, you know, I'm a risk taker, but I also am a calculated risk taker. You know, when I do something new, I definitely, you know, do the research. I put in the work. And I think for me, as a person with a disability, I really credit my circumstances. I was adopted. My parents have given me just so much support and love, and they were so encouraging in all the decisions that I had made. And actually, I want to tell a story. So when I was in India and I'm 15, I actually met this woman named Parveen. I went to a St. Stephen's Hospital has a polio ward. It's the last polio ward in the country. And I met all of these patients with polio who were in different stages of either waiting to get corrective surgeries or recovering from corrective surgeries. And I met this woman, her name is Parveen. And it was like I was looking at a mirror of myself. She was the exact same age as me. And she was waiting for these surgeries that I had already gotten. And it was so neat to talk with her through an interpreter, because I began to realize, like, how different her life is from mine. And that's how my life may have been. Unfortunately, her family didn't think of her as an asset to the family. They didn't allow her to get an education. She was illiterate. She felt like she was a burden on the family. And she wanted so much to be married or have a family herself. And I could see almost like a little bit of hopelessness in her eyes. And she was very scared about getting the surgeries. And I think, man, like, there must have been some sort of, like, intervention or something for me to be able to have the life that I have. Because possibly, you know, that could have been my reality.
That's Minda Dentler joining us on Spotlight Health on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Allison Bechtesh.
And I'm Kristen Kay. If you missed the first part of the show, you can find it online, aspenpublicradio.org.
Also online, you can stream past seasons of Spotlight Health and find ways to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.
You would think breaking Ironman records, being a mother, and working full-time might be enough for Minda Dentler. But her work to bring awareness to polio and vaccinations continues.
So what are you working on now, and what's your mission as you do go around and share your story?
Yes. So I am an advocate for Rotary International and the UN Shot at Life campaign. Rotary International, it's an international service organization, and they partnered with the likes of the WHO, the US CDC, UNICEF, and the Gates Foundation. They created this thing called the Global Polio Eradication Initiative in 1988 with the mission to end polio worldwide. And I also advocate for the UN Shot at Life campaign, and what they do is they work with the UN and other partners to ensure children worldwide have access to vaccines. And some of the work that I've done as an advocate, I've spoken and written pieces talking about the importance of vaccines. I traveled to India with Rotary International to participate in a national immunization campaign, and I immunized children. And I've also visited my representatives on Capitol Hill to lobby for funding for global immunization programs.
I'm thinking that with a full-time job and training for things like Ironmans, you actually don't need to also spend your time as an advocate. Like, what is it about you? Why you're fine? Why give your time that way?
I am so passionate about making sure that there is going to be a world without polio and that all children have access to vaccines, especially when I became a mom. It's like I'm getting a daily reminder of how my daughter's life is so different from mine because she had access to a vaccine. I mean, she's able to run, she's able to jump, all these things that I'm not able to do because my legs are paralyzed. And you know, I'm passionate to making sure that, you know, all the world's children can have a real chance at a healthy life. And that really does start with vaccines.
Linda, it's been such a pleasure to speak with you. Are you training for any races right now?
Yes, I am. I'm focusing on half Ironman distance races. So I'm going to the World Championship for the half Ironman on September 8th in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Minda Dentler is an advocate for global immunization and polio eradication and has been a spokesperson for both Rotary International and the United Nations Shot at Life campaign. She is also a four-time Ironman.
She is an Aspen Institute New Voices Fellow and a speaker for the 2017 Aspen Ideas Festival Spotlight Health Conference. I'm Allison Bektesh.
And I'm Kristen Kay. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Spotlight Health, a partnership with the Aspen Ideas Festival and their Spotlight Health Conference. Join us Tuesdays at 3:30 for conversations with featured speakers from the 2017 festival. Hear from leaders in medical research, patient care, and others on the forefront of health. You can also listen to this series online at aspenpublicradio.org. The 2017 conference runs from June 22nd through 25th. And features four program tracks: the brain, moonshots, intersections, and caregiving. Spotlight Health is a production of Aspen Public Radio News.